Yeah. Check it out. See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Hey, well, all right, sir, I'm gonna give you a lot of money and welcome aboard. Here we come on lot number 29, and what are you gonna give for? I'm a 25, I'll get 35, another 50, make a 50 bit of long. Hey, well, all right, sir, I'm gonna give you a lot of money and welcome aboard. Here we come on lot number 29, and what are you gonna give for?
Yeah, boy!
Yeah, boy, it's August 18th, and this episode 210. This is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com, the first website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. We've got a great show for you tonight. Tonight, we're breaking down the wide receiver position. We're going to look at tiers, targets, sleepers, and much, much more. But of course, our analysts, they're always here. He's combing through auction draft data and getting our getting ready for a big spreadsheet update. Slim, how's it going tonight?
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
It's going, yeah. It's been a lot of time looking at spreadsheets here in the last couple days and trying to update some stuff and get ready for our own drafts, but also updating content for listeners, and so it's good though.
Yeah, so the draft season's coming up, so like we're gonna have a lot more numbers, so we'll have a lot more accurate AAVs out there as the numbers keep trickling in, eh, Sam?
Yeah, for sure. There's lots of drafts that are actually going right now that we've been a part of, but also you know, we've got values from, so it's been good. Definitely.
Yeah, and
good.
another analyst league tomorrow night.
Yeah, our buddy Drew Davenport.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby.
Football guys,
the silky sounds,
throwing together a little draft. So yeah, we're going to take part in that. It should be good. There's some interesting
some
names
shirts
in there. Yeah, 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 that definitely.
I want to see the results of that one.
Okay, we will.
Yeah, we can take a look and breaking it down next week for sure.
One QB, but it'll be, yeah. So that'll be a little out of my wheelhouse, but I don't really do any drafts that are one QB, but not that the draft will make it that much different, but it'll just be, you know, not quite as actionable for if you're in a super flex league, but still definitely there'll be some takeaways for sure.
I got a good listen of I finally got a chance to listen to Drew's breakdown of our last analyst mock, and it was pretty good. Like he listening to how, you know, what he saw versus what we were seeing when we broke it down, it's interesting to hear the behind the scenes, you know, of the same draft. You know, it's almost like when you're at that live draft and afterwards you're looking at, up at the sheets and with a beer in your hand going, oh, hey, I like his team. Hey, I like how he did that and whatever. So it was interesting to listen to Drew's pod. And I love that he said, and I love those guys over at the Fantasy Football Auction. They always give me a Barry White shout out. So I did appreciate that on the, on his podcast too. So anyways, folks, we already heard you, so you got to shut up until I introduce you, because he's been combing the lake.
Are we being too literal?
No, you fool. We're following orders. We were told to comb the desert, so we're combing it.
I don't know if I'm being too literal there. That's for a soundbite. But he's been combing the lake for some big old muskies. Blister, how's the muskie hunting going?
We got two words for ya.
Oh, it's been fun, man. Yeah, we went up your way the other day, and there's some big friggin' fish up your way. Holy crap.
And, it's way up there, though. You got to have a big boat like you to get up there.
That's nothing, though, compared to when I went to Lake of the Woods a week or so ago. Like, we covered a lot more ground, and we boated, like, all day long. But this was, like, we were fishing. We didn't, like, it wasn't very far to go between fishing spots. So it was a lot of fun. We never boated a monster. We just boated one small one. We lost three at the boat. The first one we hooked into was well over 50 inches. The first.
No kidding.
Seeing something like that is just, like,
Get it's like a shark coming up, eh? Yeah.
Oh, the head on it was massive. Yeah. Was so, and now I'm addicted. Of course, now I go on Instagram and everything that pops up is everything to do with muskies. And then you just think, oh, I should have this hook. Oh, I should have that hook. Well, every time you buy one, you're probably dropping $35 at least.
Oh, Jesus.
50. Yeah. So,
and those didn't all come free with your boat for being late.
Yeah, you should be. Yeah. I think I lose one every time we go to somehow between my daughter and I. So, it's expensive,
but it's fun though.
Yeah, it is pretty fun. So we're heading up to the Manitou Lake tomorrow, where there's some big muskie
hogs there in there.
So hopefully we'll tackle a couple and get a few pictures and
set free. Cool. What's the Instagram handle so that you can check out the pictures of that? You had some good pictures there the other day.
I think it's just Mr. Blister. I'm gonna pull it up here.
You can throw it out there after, but if they want to see some big fish.
Is it just Mr. Blister? That's all I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mr. Blister 71.
Ah, MRB. Mr. Blister 71. Yeah. No E in there.
No E. MRBLISTR 71. All kinds of fishing and hunting escapades that are on there. There are lots of them. There's a lot more of that. That's why I look at my phone pictures now. It's all fish.
So, well, that's what I thought. There's we got a lot of listeners in Minnesota, so we do a little plug for the area. Just go north of the border and catch yourself some big muskies. There you go. Look up Big Vic.
There's a muskie tournament in Bemidji end of the month. Maybe next weekend.
Actually, you can't go.
We're almost at the end of the month already. This sucks.
We're going to go back to work on Monday. It sucks. Let's not talk about it. Let's just get going.
be crying through the whole thing tonight.
That's terrible. All right, guys. Let's get this thing going. So if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. All right, so like I said, we've got a great show for you tonight. Today we're going to be breaking down the wide receiver position. We're going to do this auction style tonight. And I actually have a name for the segment because I found a nice little soundbite to throw in there. It's a little bit of disco, a little whatever. So we're going to call this segment Hit Me with a Wide Receiver. Hot dog. All right, so hit me with the wide receiver. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about what we're doing as far as the wide receiver position goes. Slim, let's throw it to you first. Your first instincts here when you're setting up your budget, let's say even for tomorrow night for the industry draft. How are you tackling the wide receivers?
Usually, it's kind of one of the last positions that I think about when I budget. I have to decide what I'm going to do at quarterback and running back first, usually for me. So once I've kind of got that ironed out, depending on if it's a super flex or not, then I can start looking at receiver. Typically, I'm trying to spend roughly the same amount, I find, whether it's super flex or one QB, maybe a little bit more in one QB leagues, just because I'll have a little bit of extra cash because I'm not going to need so much for quarterbacks. But yeah, it's kind of, I figure out what I want to do at running back first, and then it allows me to kind of, cause there's so many, so it's so deep there that, and there's a lot of different price ranges. So I feel like at various different price ranges, I can get a receiver I'm good with. So, I really want to lock down running back and quarterback for the super flex, or at least what I want to do there. So then I can say, okay, this is what I want to spend on a wide receiver one. Here's some guys I'm targeting there. Wide receiver two, here's some guys I'm targeting, and et cetera, et cetera. So we'll probably end up talking a little bit more maybe about exact figures of what we're spending and things like that. But
all right.
I don't know.
But you tackle them kind of last because you're working out your other
budgets
first.
It's just easy to fill in that hole. It doesn't really matter how much money you have to spend at receiver as a whole, like as the group, you should be able to find some guys that you should feel pretty confident in, I think, unless you're spending a very small amount, like maybe I've got, you know, $20 for six guys, then yeah, that's right. Not necessarily ideal. But if you give me $25 to spend on a wide receiver one, there's multiple names right now that I feel pretty good about at that range. That's okay. Just an example, but.
All right, so. Booster, how about you? What are your thoughts right now on the wide receiver position, just like at the, you know, 10,000 foot level?
I like what Slim said, and I agree with that. Like I just pulled up my tier sheet here because I like to know what I want to spend at running back. And I was talking to a guy the other day about his draft, and I remember his draft, in which case the running back seemed to go crazy expensive. And I couldn't believe it. I remember last year when he was doing his draft, the value that was on wide receivers that, you know, I didn't think there'd be guys that would be, he'd be able to get, because in my mind, they're the top receivers on the board.
Right.
And he was getting them for a good price. Like last year, Hopkins, I think he got for mid to high 30s only, right? And I think in many of our leagues, we'll see him go for 45 or more in the past. So it was one of those things. So I look at that, and Slim's exactly right. Like, if you know what you want to spend on running back, so say I wanted to spend 45 or 50 bucks on my running back one, and in my first three tiers, that gives me about 10 guys only that I like that I'd be willing maybe to spend that kind of money on.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, those guys are gone because they went for $55, $60, all of them, something crazy, right? And I can't really justify that. Then all of a sudden, I look at my next tier, and I'm thinking, well, I wouldn't pay $35, maybe $30 for most of these guys, right? So if I had $50 sitting there, and I'm going to go down to $35 even, quickly I can go, and perhaps before, when I thought that my receivers are going to cost me $50 and $40, five, we'll say, for my running back one and my running back two, and quickly I realize, okay, that's not happening. Now I'm probably going to be spending 35 and 30, so I just saved $30. So where I might have been targeting, like Slim said, there's really good, I think he's right, there's good wide receivers you can get probably for $25 to be your wide receiver one, but all of a sudden now, if I got an extra $20, I can start looking at my top two tiers and targeting one of those guys. So it quickly pivot. In my receiver tiers, unlike my running back tiers, like in my top three, I have, 16 guys in my top three tiers versus my running backs. I only had 10. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's more depth and of course the prices, like in any auction, there's only so many guys that can go for $50 or more. And so eventually you're going to get a good deal on something. And it tends to be wide receiver more often than not. You can find a pretty good deal on those. And the other thing, though, when you're drafting, of course, and you're thinking about receiver is, you know, with a running back, you can take a lot of stabs for a dollar or two at the end of your draft on guys that might get a chance someday because of an injury. Like a running back that could be a RB3 could be all of a sudden become an RB1 because, you know, the RB2 could be a Nyheim Hines or something like that. Just a pass catcher, third down kind of guy. So all of a sudden that guy gets thrust into the starting role. He's getting touches. He automatically becomes fantasy relevant. At wide receiver, your wide receiver one goes down. The wide receiver three or four in that team doesn't necessarily, you know, jump into that role. They might move up the ladder or something, but typically it's not going to be
a league winner or anything. Yeah.
It's not going to be assuming all the same targets. So when you get guys later on for your bench, you kind of do got to get guys that are going to get looks. You got to pick out guys in systems that are going to get targets. And, you know, you're still going to have to pick up dollar guys at the end, but who might those guys be? And that's where we come in.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and for me right now, the more I'm kind of just looking at roster construction, whatever else, I'm thinking about tackling, you know, a fairly high running back one as like an anchor. And then I'm feeling pretty good at maybe saving some good money at RB2 and, you know, possibly the flex, because I think that there's some guys that are deeper down there that, you know, maybe the guys in your home league aren't as high on, and I think that have potential, like, you know, and Slim will get happy here, you know, like a guy like Chase Edmonds, for instance, like, you know, he has the potential to be, you know, it could be up there in a high running back two or low end RB1, but you're not going to have to spend that kind of cash on them. So you kind of have an anchor and then take some splashes at some of those guys and then save a little bit of cash to maybe pay up for a couple of better wide receivers is maybe where I'm leaning right now. Like I was thinking, Slim, if I was going to be doing that draft with you guys tomorrow night, that I was going to maybe try that tactic and just see see how that would go. Again, it's just a kind of idea of zigging when people are zagging, or using that savings at RB to pay up a quarterback, or maybe even a tight end. Like, maybe just say, screw it, I'm going for Kelsey and let's go. And I'll take a stab at some of those lower end RBs to, you know, that's where I'll save some cash. So I think that the wide receiver position, like you guys were both saying, allows you to have a ton of flexibility because there's so much depth there.
For sure. And there's always values too. Like, I mean, I've done a draft earlier this year where I got Calvin Ridley as my wide receiver one for $27, which like, again, I budgeted, you know, $25, see what happens. And a lot of times, like when you see those running backs just going for insane amounts, you probably know that some receivers are going to be values, and it's going to be some decent names. Like, people that go insane buying too expensive running backs aren't going to be able to afford some of the top receivers. We'll get into it a little bit more depth here, but like, I think for all of us, just our top two tiers, even there's a lot of names in there, maybe not in the top one, but once you get into tier two and tier three, I think probably for most of us, there's quite a few names. Like, so if a guy from this tier two slides, like, you're going to get a high end wide receiver one at a really good price.
Yeah. I even like my tier four. Like, I'd be comfortable starting with two or three guys out of my tier four. You know, like, yeah. I think there
well,
are some guys that are
when we look, I'm not sure my tier three is going to be, because I've got like 10 guys in tier three. Okay. So I have a feeling your tier four and my tier three will be, they'll align. Very similar,
yeah. Right. And the way you get, and you know, just to reinforce that, two guys who have purchased the sheets package from the website, the way these guys break down their tiers, Slim breaks his down by points per game, whereas Blister breaks his down, as, you know, their AAVs. So it does create some discrepancies. And so again, that's where we push a lot of times, you know, for guys to make their own tiers. And then you have to decide how you're going to tier your players. You're tiering them based on points, or you're tiering them based on dollar values. Like, that's an important feature. But because your tiers look, when we went through the quarterbacks and tight ends, your tiers were quite different, but it's because you attack the way you construct your tiers differently too.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's say you're looking at, do I have yours up? No, I have Blister up. So let's say you're looking at your tier three. Like, if that's something that you're looking to target right now, we're looking at Cooper Kupp to DJ Moore. That's the range there. Do you have a couple guys in there that you're just like, yeah, you know, if the auction you works appropriately, this is who I'd like to target?
A lot of guys, actually. This is my favorite tier, I think, because typically, no matter what format, I'm probably budgeting somewhere in the ballpark of like $15 to $20 for a wide receiver two, and then somewhere about $10 for a wide receiver three, maybe $15 if it's a one QB league. But there's a lot of players that fit this range for me. So I'm trying to get two guys from this tier. So whether it's, I like Kupp, Godwin, Cooper, Robert Woods, Mike Evans, Deontay Johnson, Tyler Lockett. Those are like the guys that mini tier, I guess, within this tier. I'd ideally love to get two guys from there to be my wide receiver two and wide receiver three. And then after that, I've got Higgins, Thielen, Ayuk, and DJ Moore. So if I have to take one of those guys as my wide receiver three, I'm fine with that too, but I'm going to be more aggressive at the top end and try and get two of those guys and really look for values. But Higgins is pretty cheap. Ayuk's pretty cheap comparative to some of these other guys. So oftentimes I end up with them at my wide receiver three, mainly because I'm budgeting somewhere around $10. And so those guys fit that $10 price range. But yeah, that is to me a tier where I could make the case for how Kupp, Amari Cooper, Robert Woods, maybe Godwin to some lesser extent, but, you know, Tyler Lockett, even Deontay Jones, I could make a case how these guys finishing as, you know, like a wide receiver seven or higher, even maybe by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. So, I think there's a lot of potential for, guys to outperform their values that are found in this tier.
Found in that tier. So Blister, you that's kind of your tier three, tier four kind of combination there, what Slim's talking about. So is that kind of a neighborhood that you're looking at too?
Well, I like them guys too. Yeah, I like them a lot. You know, I think you could, if you're starting with those guys, you probably have some pretty good studs at other positions, because it's not that these guys aren't studs. It's just that, like Slim said, I think the price will be there. Like there, if there's that many guys, gone for big bucks ahead of them, like say even your top four or five receivers go for over $40 some, and you know, you're probably your top eight running backs will, Kelsey, you got potentially Waller, Kittle maybe, that are going to go for, you know, bigger dollars, and then, you know, a few, probably three or four quarterbacks that are going to get a few. If it's super flex, there's going to be quite a few quarterbacks that are going to be very pricey. So you're going to see some really good deals and really good values at these receivers, I think, this year, more so than ever. You're going to get really good bang for your buck.
Yeah, I think, and just agreeing with both of you guys too, I think this is the wheelhouse where I think you're going to see probably in a lot of home leagues that the auction values are actually lower than what the AAVs go. Cause I think guys are just like you guys are both saying, they're going to be hot and heavy on the high end RB. So a lot of money's going to be out there. Someone's going to be pay big on Kelsey. So money's going to be out there, and the top wide receivers people are going to spend money on. So then there's got to be a saving somewhere in the draft. It's got to go below AAV. And I think this is a nice sweet spot for that to happen. So I think it's a good target area for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Because I mean, you know, I'm just looking through it, and you could, just like Slim was saying, if you could get two or three guys in that wheelhouse, like you've got a lot of guys that could be potential wide receiver one, and maybe you've got two of them all of a sudden, right? And if you hit right, and if the auction you works right, then you're in a really good spot. So I was just looking at some of the guys that are in that tier, and then looking at the way you guys have some things ranked. So I was just going to do it like a mini defend your rankings, just because it fits into this tier. This Belgian moon is really starting to give me a little bit of burps here. So if you can see me coming in and out, I'm getting a little gassy here. At least it's out of this end and not that end. But really, I'm just curious now, like I'm looking into those tiers, and we were just talking about guys. So like, let's take a look at someone like Tyler Lockett, for instance. So Slim, you've got him at 19, and Blister, you have him at 23, which, I mean, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but you have a mid-range to low-range wide receiver too. Slim, Tyler Lockett this year, what do you like about him? What are you worried about?
I like the fact that Seattle seems to like him. Like they re-upped him. They gave him a big contract. So that tells me that they want him to be some kind of a focal point of their offense. Now, I mean, DK Metcalf is great too. Like I have him ranked ahead of Lockett. So like, not saying that Lockett's gonna, you know, shoo in to outperform Metcalf or anything like that. But, I think Lockett usually the last few years, he's a value. Like he always ends up being a value. Last year, I think people are going to remember he had like a couple massive games, and then he had a bunch of duds. And I think a big reason for that is reportedly he was battling like injuries kind of throughout the season. And, so coming in with this new contract, assuming the offense is going to utilize him a fair amount. I also think that with the Niners, the Rams, and the Cardinals in that division, those teams look like they're going to be able to put up points. So I think Seattle's going to have to do the same. I don't know how good their defense is going to be. I think you saw last year that when they finally said, okay, Russ, it's time to go, the team performed better as a whole. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did a little more of that this year, where they just said, you know what, we're done with this old school kind of pound the rock all the time. And we're going to let our marquee quarterback actually like win games for us. So I don't know. I think some people are going to be scared by those ups and downs. I'm personally not. I think that Lockett is a pretty efficient player. contrary to what we might have seen last year. So I'm going to try and buy the dip here and sneak in here and get somebody who I think could has a chance to finish as a low-end wide receiver one when it's all said and done.
All right. And Blister, so I'm just looking at Tyler Lockett last year. Over the 16 games, he had 132 targets with 100 receptions. Like, that's a nice year. However, you've got him a little bit lower than Slim does. So defend your rankings.
Yeah. You know, Slim said a lot of really good points there. Like, last year, I was surprised, but he ended up in PPR. He ended up as the eighth-ranked receiver. And DK Metcalf ended up sixth. So you think, well, geez, why could you drop him so low? But they started off awesome. Like, thing was let Russ cook, and he did for the first 6, 7, 8 games. I can't remember exactly, and then I don't know what the hell happened, if it was injuries or change. Oh, we better run the ball more, and they kind of looked shitty after that. They're losing to bad teams. They weren't putting up any points, and I know from having Lockett on some of my teams, he's really boom or bust. He'll get those 3 touchdowns one game, and then he'll get 1 catch for 4 yards for some stupid reason the next game or the next 3 games. So it's frustrating, but I look at you know, I don't know. I don't really have, like, some people are still in love with Chris Carson, and I don't think he's got it. I really don't think their whole running back stable has got much, really. So you'd think that they should throw the ball. I think they would be better if they threw the ball more and if they had to keep up with some of those teams in their division. But, you know, I think he definitely could finish a lot higher than what I have him ranked. It's just that there's so many other, I guess, just other prospects that I like ahead of him. Mm-hmm. And I would be happy to have him on my team if he was my wide receiver 3. I'd be way more pleased than that. And I think there's guys, and then there you go. You got a guy in that tier again that, you know, he could be your 3rd receiver on your team. And yet he could be a wide receiver 1 at the end of the season again. So right. It's going to be a pretty good value. Like Sim says, he often is a good value. Obviously in this situation, DK is going to get the bigger bucks. And so there's, you know, typically Lockett had in the past, Lockett was the man, and he still wasn't really all that expensive. I think this year with DK being there, he's going to be really cheap. And, even like guys like myself will remember his boom or bust and get frustrated with that because, you know, lose some weeks badly. So,
well, and that's it. I think you got to look at roster construction a little bit, right? And he does have if you just look at last year, and I know Slim mentioned the, you know, injuries and stuff last year too, but you've got a week where he was the number 76 wide receiver, the number 50, the number 54, the 62, the 71, mm-hmm. 42, 42, 65, 61. Like, I can see that being scary. And so, absolutely. But mind you, he's wide receiver 1 in a couple weeks. But he didn't have like a lot of these great weeks that we're hoping for, even with 132 targets. Like those numbers kind of shocked me that he didn't have enough wide receiver like 1 type numbers, you know?
He'd be happy with the targets pretty much. He had 100 grabs, and the big 10 touchdowns really saved his bacon, I think, you know.
Well, the 10 touchdowns, 3 of them coming in one game when they played Arizona in week 7. He, you know, he scored 53 points, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 20 targets, like 15 catches. Like, that's that's a freak. And then you know, after that, he didn't break the top 10 the rest of the season. Yeah. In as far as wide receiver points go, so
and Russ too in turn was garbage for that part. So
they weren't letting him cook, as Slim put it. So all right, well, let's take a look at another guy in that sort of zone. So we've got Tyler Lockett as our consensus 22. Next guy is Kenny Golladay at our consensus 23. Slim, you have him way down at 33. And Blister, you have him at 18. So let's let you go first here, Blister. Kenny Golladay at 18. Talk to us.
Well, yeah, Kenny Golladay. Now he's banged up again.
Yeah. Well,
and you know what? He's got talent. I mean, 25th. He finished 21st in PPR in 2018. And of course, it's a different team, different quarterback. 2019 in PPR, he finished top 10. He was 9th. And then I was looking at the Jets or the Giants receivers last year, and they were all terrible. Sterling Shepard, I think, was their top one, and he finished 44th, 66 grabs. So, you know, I just think that this is a make or break year for
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones and Kenny. I mean, Galladay's got the talent. They have a pretty solid defense too. You know, I was kind of hoping that it was a new team, a new outlook, and maybe you know, you kind of have a little bit of a resurgence, and you know, I think he's got the skill. So my hopes are higher that he's going to kind of take some of his old form. But a lot of course is going to depend on Daniel Jones, and that is something yet to be seen. We don't know if he's going to, you know, step up and. I just can't believe like they drafted him still. I look at some of these guys. Like even
I know.
You look at when the Bears drafted Trubisky, but not only did they draft him, but they moved up to draft him.
Yeah,
and he's not even on. Like, how the hell do these people keep jobs when they, it's the scouts, it's the GMs, whoever's making these calls? Like, that's the guy we need to have. And you're like, who? Daniel Jones, Mitch Trubisky, really? And so I don't know. It's just mind-boggling that they make so much more money than we do. And they're stupid.
Okay, Slim. So you've got a alpha receiver profile here: 6'4", 218. He, you know what I mean? Blah 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 blah. He's at his age apex at about 28 years old, but he's a wide receiver 3 for you. So talk to us about Kenny Golladay.
Yeah, he's pretty much a do not draft for me. Because I think the Giants offense is a dumpster fire. I don't trust Daniel Jones. I don't trust the offensive line. He's already battling lower body injuries, which has plagued him for the last couple of years, especially last year. So that to me just, it's not setting up well for him. Like, if he's already banged up, like to me, he's made of glass. So he's already has issues. Then it's only a matter of time before they take him out for an extended period. And I mean, I don't think the change of scenery is actually going to be a good thing for him here. So I don't know. I've been moving him down and down and down kind of throughout the preseason. And this is probably about the rock bottom, that I've just put him at last week. So. Yeah, I don't see a lot of good things happening, and I don't trust his durability right now, and I don't trust the offense. So to me, he kind of starts falling into that Odell Beckham trap when he went to Cleveland.
It's
like we expected it, and then Mayfield just, he's not a quarterback that can sustain a lot of passing volume, and the team doesn't maybe want to run that way. I don't know if the same thing kind of looks like could be happening with Golladay, so I'm out.
So you're out. All right. So I had a question here I was going to ask of you, Blister. So how was I going to word it here? Okay, so if we look, I just love when like, you're updating your tiers as we go. It's awesome. The last team was made 10 minutes ago. He's always working behind the scenes. That's Blister, right? He's always working. That's awesome.
I got to look at it once in a while.
It's a good opportunity when we're podcasting. It's perfect. Yeah, it's perfect. Okay, so let's move down a couple tiers because you guys were talking about trying to mine some value in the wide receiver position, and that there's going to be deals and you're not going to spend a whole lot of cash at wide receivers. So you're obviously looking down, Blister, probably into like tier 6-ish, I'm thinking, as you know, getting into wide receiver 3, you know, spending 7-8 bucks or something like that. So in that tier that you have, let's call it tier 6, kind of starts with Curtis Samuel and runs down to Randall Cobb right now. Are there some targets in there that you're hoping that are going to either A, last till the end of the draft that you can pick up for cheap, or, you know, that middle of the draft where you're like sneaking a guy in with your nomination because you want to steal him?
You know, there's a lot of guys in there that I like, my 3 or maybe my first bench guy. But I've been finding that they've been going even cheaper than that. You know, you get them for a few bucks. Like, I'm surprised in many auction mocks I've been going into, Mecole Hardman has been fairly cheap. And I mean, he's the number 2 guy there. He's going to get a lot of looks, I think. I think he's going to have a hell of a year. And to get him for that cheap, and especially in such a great offense. But I like him. I like Gallup in Dallas still. I like Antonio Brown. Actually, if I was going to buy into the Tampa Bay, I might buy some Antonio Brown. Deebo, I'm curious about still. I'd like to see him have a big year. I really think Chenault will be the number one receiver in Jacksonville, without a doubt. I don't think that DJ Chark is going to contend there. So Mike Williams, I've always kind of liked Mike, but I don't know. We'll see. But, I mean, there's lots of guys there. I kind of liked Cobb for a while, and I moved him up there, and I probably will move him down a bit because he looked like Aaron Rodgers wanted him back.
So yeah.
They got him. But then I guess everything I hear in camp is about Marquez Valdez-Scantling is having a great camp and looks wonderful. So, you know, obviously Devontae is going to get 90% of the looks. Tanya will probably get some red zone touches. And if it's not Cobb getting, you know, the next guy up or the second guy in line or third even, then he's not going to have as much value, but he might just be a security blanket and who knows what that is. But yeah, there's a lot of guys in there. When you go beyond that, I think you're hoping more for, you know, bye week guys and guys that are going to get some opportunity. Like, I think Van Jefferson has been looking good. I think Emmanuel Sanders, I was hoping it was going to be Gabriel Davis, the number two in Buffalo, but it looks like Emmanuel Sanders is going to take that role, but he's still solid. Pittman could be good if Wentz is back. Then I think Amon-Ra St. Brown or even Cephas could be little sleepers. And I like Bryan Edwards in Las Vegas. So there's a few guys in there. I mean, there's a lot of talent still Tier seven. There's talent. Yeah. I mean, you got Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. There's some good players in there. Henry Ruggs. I mean, there's a lot of good players in there. I think Elijah Moore might carve out a role in New York even. Jalen Reagor's having a good camp and kind of looking like the guy where they, you know, or how they drafted him. So there's a lot of talent there that really could sneak up and give you solid production, and time will tell.
Yeah. So Slim, same type of thing. If I'm looking into your tiers, we're probably moving kind of like your tier five, tier six, if we're going to match similar to what we were just talking to with Blister. Who are some guys, you know, in the later part of your draft as far as wide receiver that you're pretty pumped to pick up?
Well, at this point, it's all about price. So I'm looking in my tier for the cheapest person. So guys like Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, DJ Chark, Deebo Samuel, Tyler Boyd, I'm out. They're the most expensive guys in this tier five, which is kind of my cutoff. After tier five, I don't want any of these other guys. Like those deep flyers, they're pointless most drafts because even if they hit, like, they're not hitting to actually really benefit your starting lineup. They're hitting to maybe outperform where you drafted them, but it's not going to be something that is actually going to, you know, contribute really to you winning. I would rather than forego all those flyer receivers and just buy running backs. And I want to have five strong receivers. And so usually now, this is why I call this tier five. Like, this is my cutoff because I'm budgeting probably two guys, my wide receiver four and five. Sorry, my wide receiver five and six. I'm probably budgeting about $5 a piece. So I need to find guys about $5. So like Blister said, Antonio Brown, Brandon Cooks is kind of intriguing, but he'd have to be very cheap. Just because he's the wide receiver one, it looks like there. Gallup, Curtis Samuel, I was high on before this injury, so I'm a little bit sour there, and I was getting him a lot for like $5. Elijah Moore is intriguing because he kind of fits in with Waddle and Smith, but those guys go for like close to $10, and Elijah Moore goes for like two or three. So I'd rather just take.
I'm thinking Elijah Moore by the time you get to, you know, the end of the month is going to be skyrocketing up. He's probably one of the number one buzzes of all the camps across the entire league.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, but after that, like, I don't really want any of these $1 guys. I'm not drafting Mike Thomas. So,
right.
if I need my last receiver, like say I need a wide receiver 6, because I usually like to have about 6 receivers, then I can dip into this last tier. But I only wanted one guy from the next tier, and I want him to be a dollar. Most of the time, he's probably going to have to be around a dollar because the way it's shaken out, that's why I haven't been able to buy somebody else that's been a little bit higher priced. Mm. So it was Rashad Bateman. I was taking him with my last receiver pick and a lot of flyers.
Yeah, now you can't.
Not so much now. It could be Darnell Mooney. It could be, like Blister said, Hardman.
Rondell Moore. Just
those guys. Marquez Callaway is a guy. Yeah, Rondell Moore is kind of coming along. You're right. But it's guys like that that are close to a buck. And so that's what I'm
Brian thinking. Edwards, who's a lot of hype right now.
No, but throwing the football draft too? Him. Like, yeah. let no one draft him and then try and get him on waivers. You know what I mean? Like, Brian Edwards, I don't think – is going to finish as like a top 24 wide receiver, right? So I don't know. I just don't trust like this Raiders offense to like sustain some high volume passing guy. They've already got Waller. He's not right. Losing touches. So is Derek Carr going to be able to make Brian Edwards a 1,000 yard receiver as well? Like maybe, but I don't know. I just think weekly, I'll have a hell of a time trying to predict that. And so I would rather, like I said, that's why I hate these flyers at receiver. I look at them and I just think, meh, these guys are going to give me more headaches than help. So I'd rather pay up a bit, get some consistent depth, and then let everyone else. I love nominating all these guys at the end of the draft and let people fill their benches up with receivers. And then I'm just going to go and try and start scooping running backs as they get nominated.
Yeah. But so that idea of Blister, like Slim saying, let some of those back end guys go and then, you know, go get Ty Johnson or go get Gio Bernard or something like that late in your draft and spend your money there. Like, is that something that you typically do?
Yeah, I if I could get you know, say I did want 5 or 6 receivers. If I have 3 studs starting, say I was able to pick up, I don't know, Terry McLaurin, Allen Robinson, and even Keenan Allen, or maybe I dropped down to Cortland Sutton. Pretty hard for anybody to beat those guys out on a weekly basis, other than their bye week. Because then, if those are my top 3, then I'm probably able to pick up Antonio Brown and Mecole Hardman, and you know, maybe Tyler Boyd or something. And bang, there's a pretty solid 6. So those guys, like we said earlier, those guys down there in my bottom tier, those dollar guys, very seldom are they going to bounce up and become your wide receiver 1 ever, right? Mm. But versus if, like Slim said, you go to the running back tier. And you start picking up Chuba Hubbard and who knows?
Chuba.
Yeah, Chuba.
No.
Maybe.
Exactly. Gainwell,
and maybe like Scotty Phillips or somebody. Philip Lindsay, I like in Houston. I really think he'll probably be their best one. Malcolm Brown in Miami right now. Like, you pick up those guys and you'll have something when they take over the #1 role at some point. If, you know,
that's maybe a perfect point right there. That's exactly right. With a wide receiver, if Tyreek Hill gets hurt, does Mecole Hardman automatically just step into that production?
No, Travis Kelce gets 50 more targets.
It doesn't happen with receivers. At running back, you're much more likely that if some guy goes down, then the backup running back is going to take a significant chunk of that workload. Right. So that's to me why backup running back or running back depth becomes more valuable. Sure. A bunch of those guys probably aren't going to hit either. But if one of them does, then there you go. Plus, there's just going to be so much wide receiver depth on waivers. Like, you don't have to spend on those cheap wide receivers because there's going to be a shit pile of them. So on week 1, go and pick a couple of those guys up that had good weeks that are young and look like they're, you know, showing something now and getting some opportunity, and there you go. You're off to the races and you still got good running backs.
Mm-hmm. I just want to get into a draft right now. Like, I
one. Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Hey, yeah, it's coming, Blister. It's coming. Our schedule, our calendar is, I had to put it on like the family calendar in the kitchen. I'm like, okay, I got to draft this night. I'm off that night. Got to draft this night. Oh, that sleeper draft I just signed up for with you. That's on the 6th. Got to put that on the calendar.
I was just doing the same thing tonight, and I went, "Ooh, shit!" Like a couple's golf night. Oh, Shara said either we're not going, or I'm drafting from the cart. And that's that CBS one too, because apparently there's good money if you win.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, my pocketbook is full. Thanks a lot, Mr. Auction. I haven't seen a dime yet. Anyways, and I don't know how many times I got to ask Buster. Like, how many times? Like, I just bring it up at any time that league comes up. I'm like, so has anyone got the payout yet for that league? Or and there's just no, like, Vinny never answers. Anyways.
No, I haven't. He's the only guy that hasn't signed up. He's a defending champ of our one league last year, and he hasn't even responded to signing up yet.
The formerly known as brutal. Mr. Auction, right?
Yeah. Vince Hall. Come on, Vince Hall.
Come on. Worked with Slim's boy, Merton Hanks.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I mean, this is a high-profile dude. Anyways, hey, we're calling you out, Vinny. Yeah, I know you won't listen to the pod, but we're calling you out. Anyways, okay, so the next question I just kind of wanted to ask is we're getting towards the end here. There's a couple of things. So there's a lot of talk out there about, you know, stacking in best ball, blah, 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 blah. We're looking at wide receivers now. Like, Slim, any sort of motivation to stack your wide receiver with your quarterback right now? And if so, like, is there anything there that you're looking at just because we're talking about wide receivers?
Yeah, I like the idea of stacking. I'm not going to go out of my way though to do it. Like, I'm not paying extra to make it happen though. And I think that's the thing that people have to realize, that as this gains popularity, people think, oh, I have to do this. But it doesn't work if you're like, not to
overpay,
take an ADP, but if you're taking guys way above their ADP, then it's not really that successful. So, and it's hard to do like in some drafts because, you know, like owning Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, just sometimes that's really hard to do. Like, it's hard to spend that much money on guys. So you got to look to me for a cheaper receiver paired with maybe a higher profile or more expensive quarterback. So,
I mean, that's kind of how I've looked at it, right? Like, you're going to go Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett. You're going to go, it's like Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson. Like, right? Like, you're going to pay down at one and pay up at the other type of a thing. It's the only way I think you can make it work.
Kirk has a pretty...
Yeah, but even with the Cousins, like, Cousins...
Am I off again?
Yeah.
No, you're here. We just cut you off.
Yeah. All right. Finish off, Slim.
No, I was just saying, I've Cousins, like, yeah, he's kind of not a guy, like, I'm trying to think, like, Burrow with somebody, like, whether you like Chase or Higgins.
Higgins, like, or,
trying to even Dak with, Cooper or Lamb, whoever you can get for cheaper. Like, that's not usually Amari, I guess, at this point now. But those kind of are ones, Russ and Lockett for sure, that I kind of think about more so than others.
Yeah. So, Blister, is that you? I'm sorry, we cut you off there. It's not that you got off. We just didn't let you talk. So, what were you going to say, or am I just asking you the same question?
No, Cousins has a great schedule for the first 7 weeks. So, I think about that draft you're going in tomorrow night. I think Slim, and, you know, you'll probably get him for next to nothing. And, you take him, and if you have room on your bench, you could take a guy like Fields or somebody, Trey Lance or whoever, some young kid with upside that maybe by the time Kirk's easy, juicy start to the season runs out, and that young running, rushing quarterback with a good arm perhaps could take over and lead you the rest of the way. Like, he actually finished as the 11th ranked quarterback last year, Kirk. So I think he could, I think he's going to have better numbers this year based on those first 7 weeks.
He's going to be out with COVID.
That could be a situation. You're right.
Yeah, no, true enough. Yeah, go ahead.
I joke about the COVID thing, but no, yeah. He's just not a guy I'm like super stoked about. Like, again, in one QB leagues, like tomorrow, I want my starter to be like, have upside. And the only upside with Kirk is maybe his price, but in one QB league, I think price will be a lot of people's upside. I want the rushing and those kinds of upsides, I think, with one of my quarterbacks. So that's, I think, who I'm going to target, something like that. But
something like that. We'll see. So Slim, I was actually thinking, if I was going to do that draft tomorrow instead of you, I was thinking about throwing out a premium pod just to talk about how I am prepping for that particular draft. So I'm just throwing that out there as a subject idea for a 20-minute little hit while you actually are getting ready, pressing record and just saying, hey, this is kind of how I'm breaking down my budget. This is why I'm doing it this way, blah, blah, blah. Just saucing that out there for those people who are so inclined to purchase the preseason premium from the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com, for $14.95, get the sheets and then get those premium pods. Might be an interesting pod because it's actually, you know, the actual prep for a specific draft. So,
yeah, I hear what you're saying. They might not want to hear what I'm doing, but it might be very little. Well, I've got 7 budgets that I've made for various different things already. So, to be honest, the work's done. I literally just have to open my computer and go.
And that's away you go.
What I'll be doing, but I don't mind explaining kind of how to. I've done that up to this point, though, as well.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry Buster.
Well, yeah, so many budgets. Like I know that I've went into many mock drafts, and I find like even when I'm done and I look at all my teams when the season's over, or not when the season's over, but when the drafting is over, I might have spent more on a receiver than a running back in this draft, and vice versa. And you know what I mean? Like, but after them first 4 or 5 guys at the most, then the rest of my team always looks pretty similar. Because the same guys, like, you know what I mean? Like, most of at that point, you know, if you say, for example, you got 30 guys plus, you're only getting 5 of them at the most.
Right. Right.
And then the rest of your team is scattered down. And so if you take 5 guys at the most at 30, you know, over that, then you're always left with the same amount of money after. And so after that, and it's at that point in the draft, usually too, where you end up going after the similar guys, like in that same price range. So you're going to have not exactly the same, but it's going to be very similar, what I find anyway. So it really comes down to where you're spending your money on those first 4 or 5 guys. It could be you have your intent to go and spend it on some receivers, and you know the running backs fell, so you took some of those guys, whatever. But anyways, that was my point. I ended up fairly similar teams. You know, the first 5 guys might switch a little bit, but then after that they look very fairly similar.
Yeah, because you kind of have the same targets for the later guys, right? Like you're planning it that way.
Your money is, you know, your money's dictating what you have left and what you can buy. And after you spend the majority of it on 4 or 5 guys or whatever, then that's, you're always left with the same amount.
For sure. So, hey, Slim, so I know we've done a little bit of this already, but like, of like, I don't know, let's say top 40 type receivers, like 3 or 4, like just, they're just not on your draft list. So they're like, no fly list for you.
Well, Golladay would be one. DJ Chark is another now. With that hand injury. I don't like receivers with hand injuries, so
makes sense.
Yeah. Hard pass on him. To be honest, not that I wouldn't draft them, but I find that I have a hard time budgeting them in there. The top 3 guys, Adams, Diggs, and Hill. I just have a hard time spending over $40 for a wide receiver.
Right.
I don't like the looks of my teams when I do that. I'd rather.
But that's fair to put them on that list. Like,
Other than that, Julio Jones, honestly, is one, only because of the tier that he fits in. He is grossly overpriced compared to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
other than that, that's about it, I think, looking at my
sheet. Yeah, well, when you look at, you mentioned Julio, and that's something if you head on to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com, head on the membership area, and if you purchase the sheets, you'll see, like, he doesn't show up on the free preview that we have on the website, because right now we've got Julio down at consensus 24. And one of the big things on our spreadsheet for the AAV is our value indicator. We talk about this every week, but it does indicate guys that are going for a higher dollar value than what we have them ranked for. And so right now, as far as the wide receiver position goes, Julio Jones, his VI or value indicator is the brightest red on the page. It's $8 overpriced for where we have him. Like, he is like as bright a red that you can get on this entire heat map. That is the VI indicator. So there's that's a good name just because of the dollar value. And, you know, it's not that you necessarily hate guys, but you hate how much they go for. And that's definitely too much for wide receiver 24. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
And then Slim, I was going to say, I do like that you answered the question by saying guys you will not draft are those top three guys because they go for too much. Like, normally you'd hear this question and say, oh, I'm not going to draft this guy, blah, blah, blah. But like, you're not drafting that tier because that doesn't fit into your budget breakdown, which is a good answer in an auction podcast for absolutely. So I like that you tackled it that way. Blister, how about you? Well, the three or four guys in. Yeah. Well, no, but I just think, like, if you listen to a regular draft or regular podcast, they're going to be like, oh, these are my do not draft guys. And they're, you know, wide receiver threes or fours. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I'm not drafting Bryan Edwards because, like, why would I draft him? Because Waller's getting, right. That's low hanging fruit. But saying, I'm not going to draft the top three wide receivers in fantasy football. Like, no one's saying that. Like, no one's saying, oh, in round two, if, you know, Tyreek Hill's still there, I'm going to make sure I buy him because, you know, I'm not drafting him because no one's saying that, right? So, but I think that's the value in the podcast, right? That's the idea. It doesn't fit in your budget, so you're not tackling them. That's good. Anyways, Blister, how about you? So three or four guys that you're just like, yeah, no thanks.
Well, the ones Slim mentioned.
oh, sorry. I guess it's hard to go number two, right?
The only guy that I would think about in Cincinnati is Tyler Boyd because I don't think Burrow's going to have time to throw. So I think he's going to have a hard time connecting with Chase and Higgins. I don't like Kenny Golladay as much after thinking about it when talking about him earlier. Jerry Jeudy, if it's Drew Locke, I don't want him because I don't think they have good chemistry. I think Drew Locke has better chemistry with Courtland Sutton. I don't want Juju. I don't know. I think I just read too many things. He'll be getting phased out more this year probably. Definitely not Michael Thomas. Probably stay away from the Miami receivers and keep an eye on Waddle to see if there's any connection there with him and Tua. And like Slim said, a lot of the lower end guys I'm not going to worry about and don't need to. I don't think you have to dig that deep when you're drafting, but they're guys that you might put on your watch list for the waiver wires and stuff. But those are definitely the ones. I mean, I'd take anybody in my top three tiers pretty much if I could get them, except for in my top three tiers, like Mike Evans is a guy I'd probably shy away from a little bit more so this year. I was probably higher on him before, but this year, for whatever reason, not so much. I think that, you know, Brady's going to have a great year, I think. But it's going to be hard to pick who's getting the ball from week to week, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think when you brought up the Antonio Brown, I think that's probably the way to go because I think people go on name value for Mike Evans. And so they're going to be willing to spend up and, you know, but what have you done for me lately? And, you know, Chris Godwin, okay, you know, again, name value, but, you know, I think a lot of guys in your home league are going to think that Antonio Brown's their wide receiver three. And I don't know that he is. You know, he kind of got thrown into the system late and all of those things. And now he's had all, you know, that whole year plus the off season. You know, I don't know. I think he's probably the guy to target in that offense.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay. So, Slim, any last minute advice for people who are going into drafts this weekend when they're looking at wide receivers?
Patience, I think, is key. Even if you budget to, say, get some more expensive players, and for whatever reason, you know, maybe they're going for more than you think they should, so you don't get them, just be patient, because I think you mentioned it earlier, very early in the podcast, that with the receivers, I think this is the position where you see a lot of value start coming your way. So, you know, don't worry about getting too much depth. Use that in other things, but just be patient. You'll be able to get 4, 5, 6 really quality wide receivers, and I'm willing to bet some of those guys are going to come at a really good price.
Awesome. Blister, so same question. You're heading to draft this weekend. Talk to the guys about, you know, last minute advice with wide receivers.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, be ready to pivot to some of the top guys. If you notice that running backs are, you know, they're getting the ones that went really expensive, and the money you had is not enough for those really top 10 expensive guys or something, but still too much to pay for the next guys that you like, and then quickly pivot to bidding on a better receiver than you expected to get. So I like a slim set. I like, you don't need to really have your bench full of guys. Once it gets too low, those guys, they'll be those same quality guys on the waiver wire. Save those spots for shots at running back. But yeah, I think that's, there's a lot of good receivers here that are going to have good weeks. So you can piece them all together. I think you'll be fine.
All right. So, I mean, the key here, right, is you can go to the website, you can buy all of the tier sheets. So what we've been talking about all night with the wide receiver tiers, they're all there for you. We've done the heavy lifting for you. You can look at the blisters based on dollar value. You can look at slims based on points per game. Like, all those sheets are there for you. You can download them. I got a video that shows you how to download them, and then you can do your own editing. So at $7.95, if you go to the website and purchase those, that's ready for you for your draft this weekend, you know, ready to go. And then, like we've preached for years now, just that idea of tier-based drafting and knowing what your tiers are and knowing what tiers you want to target, and then, you know, holding on for that auction you and hoping that you know, the first couple guys go that aren't heavy guys that you're looking for, and then you find the sweet spot and find some sweet deals. And then finally, like Buster was just saying, being ready to pivot. And so being able to have that flexibility and knowing what your team's going to look like for when the deals show up. And the deals will show up. They're going to be somewhere. They're going to be at the wide receiver position. They're going to be at the running back position. I think most likely this year they're going to be at the wide receiver position. So you need to know what you're going to do if you're not willing to spend, you know, $72 on Christian McCaffrey. Like, well, what are you going to do? Where are you going to spend your money? So you need to have that game plan already set up. And if that's doing mocks, if that's, you know, getting a group of guys together and throwing $5 into a sleeper draft and doing it that way, or if that's, like, you know, how I've told you before too, just chicken scratching on a little notepad. Hey, this is what my team would look like this. This is what my team would look like that. You know, so you can end up in a position like Slim was saying earlier, where he's got 6 or 7 budgets ready to rock. And so he's prepped and ready to go. He can step into that draft tomorrow night, and he's not going to have any surprises. Oh, geez, the wide receivers are going for this amount. Boom, I'm going with this budget plan. So tier-based, know your tiers, and then know how you're going to pivot, I think, at the end of the day, is how you're going to win your draft. All right, that's all I got.
That's great.
Finished, man. With a soliloquy. Is that what it is? A soliloquy? Wow. Okay. Is that big word? Slim, you taught English, didn't you?
No, I didn't. For that. But I've heard of that word before.
I just totally used a fancy word. I have no idea if it was an actual, in any sort of real context. anyways, I thought it sounded smart. But now that I've explained it, I sound stupid. So.
anyways. Man. Nobody that listens to this pod should know what the hell that means. You're not a very good
Yeah, true enough. And anyone who's still listening after the hour mark that knows what that means really needs help. That's right. Except for we'll probably – I can't wait for Gibby to say, I know what a soliloquy is, and you answered and you said it wrong. Yeah.
He'll tweet it out.
Yeah. That's good. All right. So I'm not heading to golf tomorrow because now I'm back to coaching high school football, Blister.
Nice. So what are you guys doing for a season?
Who knows? It could just be regional because we won't be able to go interprovince probably. So we'll bring back the old Norwasa and do it that way. That's what it kind of looks like. So
I wish that they would make an announcement because, you know, I know, like, for some kids, sports are very important. And for us, they're very important growing up. And they help form a big part of your life. And then, like, there's just no announcement. So right now, people are asking me, what's going on with high school hockey? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they would say, you know what? We have tryouts planned for these dates. We are going to have a season or not, whatever. But kids are leaving town, like, fast as they can. They're, like, freaking, like, they're diving off a sinking ship here. Yeah. And so at the end of the day, we're losing students, too. So, you know, it's a lot of money going out of this school board. Well, and I think that, but they don't want to think about that because sports aren't important to them.
And so for those who are listening, we live in Ontario and we probably have some of the strictest COVID rules on the continent. And so right now contact sports are still very up in the air. We don't know what the hell is going on, but we've just taken it upon ourselves to go above and beyond. We're doing screening every practice. We're doing, you know what I mean? We've got we've been talking to the health unit about do's and don'ts and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know what I mean? We've got we've been talking about it, like we're going to be the trailblazers as far as what goes on for high school sports in our area. And whether it becomes a flag football league for this year or whatever the case may be, we've had dozens of kids coming out. The numbers have been great. We've got a former CFL coach and a Grey Cup winner out there leading the show and really making things professional and and scripted, and he's doing a great job of mentoring some of the coaches that are out there. It's just fun to be on the football field with the kids. And, I'm watching my son come home just buzzing about playing football. And, you know, he hasn't had an opportunity because of COVID. He's had to have been sitting in his room playing Madden forever. So, that's what we're doing right now, but it's lots of fun to be out there. I'm working with the RBs right now. We have been working on flat and post routes and Slim. I've been I bastardized the lyrics just a little bit, but I gave them. We're going to fake a flat, then run a post or toast. I'm the most LTD, right? I'm doing a little Maestro Fresh West for you there. Just busting it old school for those boys. And I asked them, did anyone listen to Maestro last night? And of course, nobody did. But I was just spitting bars out there for them yesterday. And I know the real lyric is fake a flag, then you run a post or toast. I know that's how it goes, but fake a flat because that's what we were working on today, the footwork out of to run the flat. So it's fun. I don't know. It's good. Now I'm actually watching some CFL football, so that part's kind of fun too.
Right on, man. Well, good that you're back out there.
Yeah, well, we'll have to, whatever. It's I'm out there. It's fun. I don't know, whatever. I was going to sit there and watch him at practice. Is that what I'm going to do? Oh, yeah, come watch you at football practice and just sit there or – you know what I mean? I played 5 years of university ball. I should probably go out and help coach, right? Like the guys that are out there coaching didn't. So I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's good, man.
Yeah. So that was another soliloquy there for everybody at the end. That's just, I went full circle. You see how I did that? So I won't see you guys on the golf course tomorrow night because I will be on the football field. All right.
Watch for me on Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram at Mr. Blister No E 71.
71.
Look for the big hogs.
Large bass. I want to take down my neighbor in this fishing contest this weekend.
Screw the accountant. Screw him.
Yeah, that's right. He catches enough fish.
Yeah, that's my right. Turn. That's right. Screw him. Screw the guy with the big house and the big boat and all the fishing experience. Screw him.
Yeah, if anybody listening wants to send me musky lures, I will. He cheats for life.
Yeah. Free sheets for life. There you go. You heard it here first, folks. All right, guys. So, I won't see you at golf tomorrow because I will be out on the football field. And for the rest of you, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll be coming.